Good morning. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning. Father, just open our eyes to see clearer and clearer into this day of spirit that's dawning. Yes. And remove the scales of religion that have blocked our sight of really just seeing who you are.
That's right.
We want that clear revelation of your heart and your mind in this hour, Father. Amen. I want to talk about the new covenant this morning, and which we're very much involved in. And I think a problem many of us have as believers is how to relate to the old covenant or the Old Testament. We all grew up with Bible stories. I know I did, and just the heroes of the faith. And you know, Paul voiced in 1 Corinthians 10:6, he says that all that was given as an example for us. In verse 11, it was written for our instruction. It's one thing to learn from the Old Covenant or look at the Old Testament and let it, the types and shadows that all point to Christ. And the prophets spoke words that dealt with their present situations at the time, but so much of the word was prophetic about the Lord's coming and also prophetic about the Lord's coming in his people today. But the word was not given to be a burden that we wear to be under. I'm talking about the Old Covenant. The law was given, and Paul says the law is perfect. But if we're under the law, we're not allowed to grow to perfection. The whole purpose of the perfect law was to bring us to Christ. He was the only one that could fulfill that. So when we look at the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, it's not that we say, well, we don't have to follow that anymore, the Ten Commandments. They weren't given to us, by the way. You know that, right? The Ten Commandments. They were given to the people of Israel. Now, obviously, the commandments are perfect. I mean, how can you live without those commandments being there? That code of morality should be everywhere. But it's one thing to obey and know that it's right. It's another thing to wear the burden of the law. And that's the thing God wants to free us from. We're not to be under it. Where it be in Christ, in the new covenant, is a freedom from that weight. That's so important because I think the church today is really a mixture of the old and new. Yeah. The structure that we see out here, let's face it, we believe in the new covenant, the blood of Christ, his Holy Spirit is moving amongst us, but there's still a lot of the old that we cling to. Not totally convinced yet that God is not relating to us through the law. We all have our own version of that. The system of reward and punishment. Now, it's very true that what we reap, we sow, but our relationship to the Father is not based on our performance. The new covenant is based on what Jesus Christ did. It's by grace.
Amen.
So to not be under the law does not mean we don't follow laws. It means that our relationship to the Father is not determined by the law. And we get freed from that heavy burden of feeling we have to earn God's favor. I think with all of us, there's probably little corners or attic space or closet space where you're pretty convinced that God loves you, but there's little dark areas where he's still measuring me by how well I perform. Sometimes he smiles on me, sometimes he's frowning. Well, God is good. He's always smiling because of what Jesus Christ has done. We just don't always recognize the smile. Okay, we're going to go into this. In the Old Covenant, and we're going to look at, actually you can read this later, but look at the life of Samson. That's Judges 13 through 16. In the Old Covenant, taking on the word, what God spoke, was a heavy burden. You did your best to perform it, but you knew you needed God's Spirit to do it. Now, what happened in the Old Covenant, you see, so often, is God's Spirit would come on people. He didn't dwell in people, but he would empower people to do his word and his will. You look at Samson, how the promise came, and he was given divine strength through his life. And yet, when he met Delilah, and we don't need to go into the story, you know, he was deceived and disobeyed God and lost his power. But that's kind of the story of the old. It's God coming on people When they obeyed, there was reward. When they disobeyed, there was punishment. There was bondage, going into Babylon, the whole thing. The up and down history we see with Israel. There was no interchange. What I love about looking at Samson's life is the very end in chapter 16. He's blind. He's being held captive by the Philistines. He's lost his power. And he's in the temple, remember? And he says, God, one more time. Just give me strength one more time. And he pushed the pillars apart. And it says more died that day when that temple collapsed than all of his other exploits throughout his life. It's like when Samson was willing to let go of his life, God was able to accomplish something greater in him than he'd done previously in the years before. And that's the key of the new covenant. Under the old covenant, we're striving for something that we can never find. Perfection. And the best we can do is God helping us, and we have to deal constantly with the ups and downs of human nature and failure. The new covenant, your humanity, is not a problem with God. And if we really get into the spirit of new covenant, it stops being a problem to us. Yes. He uses the weak to confound the strong. What we consider foolish to confound the wise. His power is perfected in our weakness.
That's right.
It's a whole different approach. When God is indwelling us, which is what New Covenant is, it's not how hard we try to perform. It's are we willing to let go of that independent self-will.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit can do his work through us. In John 12:24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. If it dies, it bears much fruit. Another translation says, in the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is, I like that phrase, just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let it go, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. Under the old, there was no means of transformation or interchange. In the new, because the Holy Spirit's in us, we're still feeling we've got to like kind of work with God. Like, you know, Holy Spirit, I know you're there and I need you, but man, it's going to be my effort and your effort together. We'll make it happen. That's not what God's looking for. We're trying to take things on. He's saying, let go. It's the Holy Spirit doing his work through us. We cooperate with that. He'll speak. Your mouth is going to speak. Your feet are going to move. You're going to take action. But it's not that independent self-will of I can do it for you, God. That part needs to die. That's the thing that falls in the ground and dies. When we let go of our life as it is, how do you see yourself? You look in the mirror and say, well, I don't like what I see. Okay, negative self-image. You look in the mirror and say, I'm going to be great. You know, a positive self-image, maybe a little bit of arrogance and pride mixed in. Whatever you see through your eyes, let it go.
Yes.
Your life as it is, positive, negative, let it go.
Yes.
That's the power of the grace of God of New Covenant. This is also confirmed in Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. This is the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And remember, he said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he talked about the commandments. He says, I've followed all those commandments. And Jesus said, okay, just one more thing you need to do here. You're pretty rich. You know, let go of those riches and follow me. And the man walked away sorrowful because he was not able at that point to let it go. He came to the Lord. Now look at his approach. He came to the Lord saying, look what I have done. Is it enough? And the issue, Jesus said, it's not what you've done. Are you willing to let go of this one thing? Your money. And he was speaking again of the new covenant we're under. We're always trying to impress one another and maybe God with how our works, how much we can do. Yet the Holy Spirit is ever working within us to help us to let go of that ego. That's hard for us. I mean, you think you're humble and It's a whole matter of layers. How willing are you let the Spirit examine the core of your being? We all have this sense of independence that we can do it ourselves. That's the hardest thing to let go of. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. He knew his strength, everything that happened through him, was he was totally dependent on the Father.
Amen.
I think that total dependence on the Spirit of God kind of scares us. Peter responded, well, who can be saved then? And Jesus said, verse 26, you can read, he says, who has any chance at all? In another translation, Jesus said, you have no chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. So in the new covenant, what happens is self-sufficiency, self-effort is replaced by trust in him. A whole different way of operating. What I see happening with the church today, you know, we got a foot in the old, a foot in the new. The more we come to trust God, the greater that that light of his presence shines, the old system's going to crumble.
Amen.
We don't need to rebel against it. We don't need to rebel against religion. Some people say, well, church is so limiting, this is wrong, that's wrong. We need to outgrow the structure as we've known it. As we grow, as the light grows within us, as our trust in God deepens, we won't need the crutches that we've had before. We won't need the structure. There's going to be something greater coming. And what is that going to look like? I don't know. My mind is not at a point where I can even see it or describe it. I just know it's there. I know that what we see now is limited. And there's a greater day coming. We're going to have fellowship like in 1 John 1. One with another. It's not talk about going to church and, you know, all the battles that go on. You sense the love and oneness. And we all fight different things. Oneness is going to overwhelm the people of God. We won't need a building to go to. We'll be so aware of our connection in the Spirit. It's going to be a source of great joy to us. I'm not saying we won't meet together, but it's going to be a different kind of coming together than we've known in the past. Less ritual. More just flowing in the Holy Spirit together.
Right.
I love this morning. We didn't have, you know, our usual team up here. It's wonderful because it just takes you about 2 seconds and all of a sudden you're aware that's God's presence. You know, it doesn't matter what we do or don't do. His presence is with us and in us and manifesting through us. Okay, I'm going to finish up here. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. As we come into this reality of new covenant life, we really come to see and know who the Father is. Under the old covenant, I think we're always going to have a view of God that he's somehow distant, never close enough. We feel the warmth, but we have trouble believing that warmth is actually inside our lives. He clearly has said in the New Testament more than one occasion that you are my temple, I dwell in you. God has chosen our lives as his home. He doesn't have a problem with it. We do. Isaiah 64:8, he says, thou art our Father. Personal. Our Father. Not just thou art our God, but also our Father. We are clay. You're the potter. We are the work of your hand. That's the awareness and revelation that New Covenant life brings. It makes God personal. He lives in us. He's our God. We worship him. We reverence him. But he's our Father. It's very personal. It's very intimate. And because he's our Father, we can recognize that it's okay to be clay. It's okay to be human. Because in New Covenant life, when we're really experiencing the grace of God, there's that willingness to say, Father, you're the potter. I'm just clay. I don't need to condemn the clay. Just mold it the way you want it to go. That's all God's looking for. He doesn't want to change the fact that you're human. He wants to know, are you willing to let him mold your humanity in the way that he has, wants your life to be lived out, the way he wants to unfold your destiny. That's the new covenant revelation of the Father. And that's what's needed now. Churches, I think we can, you know, preach 1,000 sermons about what God's like and what's going to happen in the days ahead. But realize that you carry his presence within you. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. Every day, this intimacy of God being our Father.
That's right.
And just being aware that as clay, you don't pray, God, get rid of the clay. You just say, God, mold it according to your will.
That's right.
Our minds are not going to be able to figure it out. And we're not asked to figure it out. We're just asked to be willing and submit to the work of the Holy Spirit within us. What this is going to look like, I don't think any of us know. I don't think our minds are renewed enough to even understand the glory of the Lord as it's going to come forth. Our minds are going to have to catch up with our faith. And right now, God is asking that we have trust, and we trust in him for something new to be birthed in the Spirit. Amen. Let's stand. Sure, if this recorded or not, but anyway. Yeah. Lord bless everyone here. Fred, we have prayer afterwards? You've got to have the priorities, I tell you. I'll tell you what, before we dismiss, I want to recognize that I know that as a fellowship, being fewer in number, there is a growing anointing on just the intercession that's coming forth from here. And that's something I think we're going to be more and more aware of. And whether you're in the back room there or on your way driving here or just throughout the week, be aware of just the groanings of the Holy Spirit within. I think we're all sensing a burden. The burden that God gives, again, is not this weighty thing that we just, oh, how can we ever do this? Jesus said, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. It's, what that means is when we're trusting in him and we're depending on the Holy Spirit, we don't have that religious striving. We're not carrying that heavy load. We just flow with it. So we bless the prayer that's to come up and just the time of fellowship. Bless everyone's week. Amen. We're dismissed. Wait a minute, 10:45? We can't be dismissed. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, that's right.
Thank God that the other goose parade was yesterday.
Yesterday, yes.
They changed it. Maybe, yes. Maybe they finally heard it.
Well, a lot of people said that they wanted to be able to visit church.
I actually called the city to complain.
Huh?
I actually called the city to complain.
Yes, and so did a lot of people.
Yeah.
I can't. That's why I leave mine in the car.
I know. I'll let you go way around.
John, let me put that back in the...
Let me just one thing. Let me show you. This could be somewhat confusing. They sent a check back. This is a reimbursement for the initial application for confirmation to check the documents of the church, the articles of incorporation and the bylaws. And they're included in here. They said they're everything is hunky-dory, so to speak. But they wrote the check to me, mistakenly. So that's it.
Okay.
So I just went ahead because it was deposited. I deposited it because it was written to me.
Yeah.
And so that's what that is. And I think this should be the amount that they returned.
I'm gonna.
But you can check it.
I'll check it. I'll take this over to Doris.
Sure. Yeah. It has, you know, all the back.
Oh, that's great.
All the whatchamacallits here, and it's pretty much the documentation kind of.
Thank you, John. Blessing you.
I was stoked. I was just. They would only reimburse 3 years. And you guys, you know, really have coming to you another 3 years.
Okay, that's 3 years we would have never seen. Yeah. And the way the finances are here, it's just really timely. Bless you.
So that's awesome, dude. It's just good to see you. It's
wonderful to see you.
Yes, sir.
As you can see, we're just expanding into that mega church.
Well, it's like, you, nobody cares. I know. I think it's... It's always a sweet spirit. You know, it's funny because when we were here last Sunday we were here was the day that Susan passed.
Oh, I thought about that. I didn't see you. I came after you left, but that was...
Yeah, because it happened just before. We got the message just before service started. On August 30th.
Janelle doing okay?
Yeah, there are days that are worse days than others. There are days that are better days than others. And so, you know, but mostly it's good days. And, you know, it's just one of those things. In a way, Susan has opened up doors to us. One thing that happens, you know, it's really fantastic. And it's kind of a help.
Thank you.
We should have David in there too.
It's up. Whatever you want.
I wonder if he's got time.
I think it would be wonderful.
I would
because,
like to have,
you know,
David
why?
In there too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that have happened. You could say behind John and Janelle's back, which is right, meaning everybody's reaction to things that have been of the past.
Yeah.
So David's been. He's heard everything. What everybody has to say.
Oh yeah.
And
I didn't even think of that. You know,
yeah,
I'm going to
no.
ask him.
Take him off the hook by having him.
I think I would like to have him there.
Yeah.
If he's got time. And our service was so short that he probably does.
He probably does.
Oh.
It probably won't be that long anyway.
Should I just stick it in here?
No, David's going to take, he's going to go see Doris. So let me have it.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I'll give it to him.
Let me see if we can get David in.
But he's going to go see Doris afterwards.
Oh, yes. Oh, where's Doris? Is she okay?
She woke up with a migraine. But the last 3 days she's been... she went to the doctors, but she's been coughing. She was coughing this morning when she was talking to me on the phone, but she's been under the weather for about the last 3 or 4 days. So, okay?
Okay.
So pray
right.
for her.
Okay, we will.
All right.
Okay, cool.
But it's stuff to do at the church. Mm-hmm.